Good morning. Welcome, everybody, to Kelvin Christian Reformed Church. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We want to welcome all of you to worship this morning, and a special welcome to our visitors, to family and friends that have joined us. As we get started this morning, I've got a couple of announcements that I'd like to make, and hopefully I'll keep them all straight here. First, you'll notice that we're going to have a congregational meeting to elect new council members on October 17. So that's in 2 weeks, and I believe there's even more information in the newsletter in your mailboxes. Janet's nodding, so I think I got that right. So check the newsletter. You'll get more information about names and that sort of thing. But just so you know, in 2 weeks, we'll have that congregational meeting. Then also, as you've hopefully heard and seen, our church is going to be doing delivery for Meals on Wheels for the next couple of weeks. There's a sign-up sheet on the podium just outside the center doors here, and I believe there are still slots available even for this week. So if you're willing to help out with that and you want to put your name down, please do that. This is a great way for us to volunteer and be involved in the community. Then finally, last announcement I want to make. I've put some office hours here in the bulletin, times where you will probably be able to find me here. Sometimes things come up and I'm not around. But the thing I did want to mention is that Tess and I are a one-vehicle family. When I'm here, there's not necessarily going to be a car here. Sometimes I take a bike, sometimes I walk, so I'm sorry, I'm not really so easy to keep track of that way. I'll have to like put a sign up in the window or something. But if you ever need to get a hold of me, you can call me and I'll let you know if I'm in the office or not in the office, and we can set something up if I'm in the middle of something at that time. So with all that preliminary stuff out of the way, we enter into our time of worship. God calls us to join in singing his praises with some words from Psalm 96, let's rise and join together in this reading. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Let's join together in singing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Thank you. Now, before we do God's greeting this morning, I'd like to invite our kids to come forward, and we'll talk about what the greeting means so the rest of you can be seated. And kids, if you want to come join me up front. Good morning. How's it going for you guys today? That's good. So we are talking about what we do in church, what the different things we do mean. And so the next thing that we do in church is called the greeting from God. Do you guys know what a greeting is? You ever heard that word before? No. We greet another person. Yeah, when we greet somebody, we say something like, "Hi, hello, welcome." So when we come to church, we call church God's house. So when we come to church, when we come to God's house, God greets us. He says, "Hello, welcome, I love you." And so every week we do this because God wants us to know that he wants us to be here, and he's happy that we're here. And he loves us. So that's what we do in the greeting. That's all I've got this morning. You guys can go back to your seats. Now, I know I just told you to sit down, but you're going to have to greet one another next, and that's going to require standing up. So please rise in body or in spirit and receive God's greeting. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. From God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. As God has greeted us, let's also greet one another. Let's just remain standing at this point. If we claim we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let's join together in prayer. God, our loving Father, you have given us so much: homes, work, relationships, possessions, skills, life itself. And as if that was not enough, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, gave himself for us and for our salvation. We confess that we have not rightly responded by fully giving ourselves to you. Again and again, we worship and pray with distracted hearts and minds. So often we give you our attention only after satisfying our own interests. Many times we work half-heartedly at serving you, or we carry out our tasks for our glory instead of yours. Forgive us. And cleanse us through Jesus Christ, and inspire and empower us through his grace to offer all of ourselves to you. God of life, God of comfort, alone, afraid, in fear, in loss, we cry out, "Why, O Lord, why? How long, O Lord, how long?" We cling to you in hope, even as we grasp for hope. So grasp us in your loving embrace through Jesus Christ, who endured the cross for our sake. Amen. People of God, hear the good news. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people, and I will be their God. Know that in Christ Jesus, God forgives us and makes us new. Thanks be to God. And so Jesus calls us to live for him. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's sing together once again. We'll sing "For Such a Time as This." You may be seated. It's our privilege as God's people to be able to come before him in prayer and know that he listens to us and that he cares about the concerns on our hearts and minds. So let's join together in prayer. God our Father, you created the heavens and the earth. You care for all living creatures and shape the course of history. You have redeemed your people from sin and death and are gathering your chosen ones from all nations. And you will set all things right, make all things new. God, we thank you for signs of your love and faithfulness, and we bring you our prayers on behalf of creation. Lord, we thank you for the changing of the seasons as we enter into fall. We thank you for your faithfulness in sending sun and rain. We thank you for the harvest that is being brought in at this time. We pray for safety for all those who are involved. We pray that you would continue to bless our crops. We pray that you would move us to take good care of this land and this earth that you have given us, to use things well for your glory. We pray on behalf of the nations of the world. We thank you for the work of relief agencies that respond to disasters caused by storms and other natural disasters, but also the results of war and corruption. We thank you for trade and cooperation, for the ways in which our world is connected and we can learn from other people. Lord, we pray for those who are suffering under oppressive governments. We pray that you would bring them relief and freedom. We pray for our own nation. We thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy here in the United States. We thank you for the leaders you have given us. We pray that you would guide them to live according to your standards, to do what is right. And we pray for those in need in our nation, those living in poverty. We pray that you would be with them in a special way. We pray for the divisiveness in our nation. We pray that you would bring healing, that you would help your people to be people of peace, that you would help us to love one another as you call us to do. We pray for our neighbors and our community. We pray for the families around us, that you would bless them and their relationships. We pray for our local schools, for teachers and students, that you would provide good education there, that you would raise up leaders for a new generation. We thank you for the businesses in our community and the work that you've given us. We pray that that work would flourish, that you would provide for the needs of many people through the work that is done. We pray for events in our community, that you would help things to go well, that you'd bring people together, that you'd lead more and more people in our neighborhoods to faith in Christ. God, we pray for your church throughout the world. We pray that your church would be more and more united, that we would not divide ourselves by petty disagreements, but that we would see that we are connected in you. We pray that your church would be holy, that we would not live according to the standards of the world, but that we would follow you and live as you call us to do. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are persecuted, that you would provide them safety, give them relief. We pray for our local congregation. We thank you for our council members and the leadership that they provide. As we prepare to select new council members, we pray that you would be preparing them, and that you would guide their work. We thank you for all others who serve in our church too, doing things like teaching Sunday school, serving on the various teams and committees we have. We pray that you would bless our ministry, that we may grow in you, that we may be an effective witness to those around us. Finally, Lord, we pray for those we know with special needs, and we pray for ourselves too. We think of those who are in prison. We pray that you would be with them, that you would lead them to you. We thank you for those who do prison ministry. We pray for those who live with disabilities and the challenges that they cause. We pray that you would give them strength. We pray that you would give strength also to those who care for them. We pray for those who are struggling with difficulties in marriages and family. We pray that you would bring healing and restoration. And for all others with special needs, make your presence and your love clear. Lord, we pray all these things in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As part of our worship, we have the opportunity to give back to God, giving thankfully with the gift of our offerings. As we receive our offerings for the ministry of our church, we're going to sing together The First Place.
The First Place is a new song, so I'm going to sing the first verse and the refrain, and then I'm going to ask you guys to sing along with me.
Thank you.
In our sermons together, we are looking at the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. Now, when the book of Malachi is written, God's people are in a bit of a rut. Their worship has kind of grown stale. They're beginning to have some doubts about God and whether living for God is really worth it. And God sends the prophet Malachi to call the people back to him, to be more faithful to him, to honor him. So this week and in the next coming weeks, we're going to see a few different examples of ways that God speaks to the people and says, you are not really living for me as you should in this area. Now we need to remember that the book of Malachi began with God talking about his love for his people. So even before God calls his people to live for him, he reminds them that he loves his people. He loves us. And because of that, he calls us then to live as his people. So we'll look today at God calling the people to give him pure offerings, to worship him as he deserves. Before we read God's word together, let's join in a moment of prayer. Our Lord and our God, now as we hear your word, fill us with your spirit. Soften our hearts that we may delight in your presence. Sharpen our minds that we may discern your truth. And shape our wills that we may desire your ways. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. You can follow along up on the screen, or if you want to follow along in your own Bible, that's great too. We're going to read once again Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. A son honors his father, and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you priests who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now plead with God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying, the Lord's table is defiled, and its food is contemptible. And you say, what a burden! And you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands? Says the Lord. Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. This is the word of the Lord. God's people's offerings are dishonoring God. The priests keep sacrificing the animals brought in by the small community around Jerusalem. But there isn't much care or heart put into these worship practices. Each day, the priests shuffle toward the altar and present new offerings. But the priests' faces and their body language communicate disinterest, even boredom. They sigh or roll their eyes when another person comes forward with a goat or a lamb. The priests seem to be thinking, "This sacrificing business sure stinks. Why did God stick us with such a lousy job?" And the offerings that the priests sacrifice leave more than a little to be desired. A large family brings forward a blind bull. A wealthy couple drags in a sickly ram that's covered with sores. An elderly man carries in a goat because it clearly can't walk on its deformed legs. Young parents present an injured lamb that's barely escaped a lion's claws. We promised the Lord we'd offer him a sacrifice if he gave us a child. God answered our prayers, so here's our offering. Now the Lord told his people that the sacrifices they bring must be free from any blemishes or defects. The priests are there to inspect the offerings to make sure that they're appropriate. But instead, the priests simply lead the way in offering God sick and disabled animals. Finally, the Lord just can't take it anymore. Angry and disgusted, God accuses the priests, "You are treating the Lord with contempt." "How are we treating you with contempt, Lord?" the priests reply. "Where's the proof? You offer defiled food on my altar." "But how does that defile you, God?" "The offerings that you bring, the way that you worship me, reveals what you think of me, your God," the Lord explains. "The altar is like my own table. You even eat portions of some of these sacrifices. That's a sign of our relationship, your fellowship with me. When you bring in sick and blemished animals, you say that my table isn't worthwhile. And you mean that means that you don't think that I'm worthwhile. I know that you people have acceptable animals. Don't you see how insulting it is when you bring in diseased and deformed sacrifices? You make me look unworthy and detestable before all the people. Try bringing such sick, sad animals into your governor as a gift or a tribute. Do you think he'd accept such a poor offering? Do you think he would show you favor if that's the way you treated him? So how can you bring me these offerings and think I'm going to be pleased with you or do whatever favor you ask? You dishonor me. You act like I'm nothing to you." At this point, you may as well shut the temple doors rather than bringing me such disrespectful worship. I've had it. I won't accept these hateful offerings. The Lord wants his people to bring him acceptable and heartfelt offerings. At first glance, that might make it seem like God is self-centered or overly demanding. But if we dig a little deeper, we find that's not really the case at all. For one thing, the Lord doesn't need his people's worship. Over and over in our passage, God stresses his greatness. He rules over the whole world. All things belong to him. What human beings do or don't do cannot take away from or change God's glory, power, majesty. The Lord is the one who provides for all creation. He does not depend on people. And if the Israelites, God's chosen people, don't want to bring God acceptable sacrifices, he makes it clear that there are others who will offer him pure gifts. The time is coming, God promises, when people from every nation will honor and worship the Lord. So God doesn't need his people's offerings, but he wants them to bring sincere sacrifices because he wants to be in an ongoing relationship with them. God isn't really impossible to please. He promised long ago that he would be pleased with his people's sacrifices when they followed his instructions, when they acted in devotion to him. The Lord is delighted when his people show him love. But right now, they're not showing him love. And what's more, before God even calls his people to worship him, he shows them just why he deserves that worship. The Lord deserves honor because he is the great king who's perfect and far greater than all humanity. God has protected his people from their enemies, brought them back from exile. The Lord deserves respect. Because he is the faithful master who rescued his people from slavery in Egypt so they could be his free servants. He gives them rest. He entrusts them with caring for the land he's given them, representing him to the nations. The Lord deserves offerings because he is a faithful father. A loving God who blesses fields and vineyards, flocks and herds, so that his people have food to eat. He cares for all of his people's needs. He pays attention to their cries for help. God's people's worship is always a response to what God has already done for them. Their offerings reflect their relationship with him. Their commitment to him. Worshiping God the way he wants, the way he deserves, shows gratitude and respect for him. God gave his people instructions for their offerings to teach them, to help them to reflect on how they belong to him, how much he blesses them, how gracious he is in providing forgiveness for their sins and wrongdoing. God has every right to be angry when his people just disregard his love for them by bringing insincere and undesirable offerings. God loves his people, and his loving actions prove he's worthy of worship. Now, just like in Malachi's time, God's people today can still struggle to offer God wholehearted worship. Martin groaned inwardly every time a worship leader invited the congregation to rise and sing. Martin loved God. He looked forward to gathering with God's people on Sunday mornings. But while there were some worship songs he enjoyed, he didn't like the music his church used at all. So when the singing began, Martin checked out. Normally, he'd just stand there. Sometimes he scowled, crossed his arms. A couple times, he simply left the sanctuary until the music was over. Martin wasn't going to join in worshiping God if he didn't feel like it. We can and often do dishonor God with the ways that we worship him. We can just go through the motions or bring God far less than our best. We might offer God distracted prayers or prayers that really are all about us. We can toss a few bucks in the offering plate as an afterthought, never consider how much we could give or what God deserves. We can push off our Bible reading or devotions until they don't get done at all, or at least until we're too tired to learn anything from what God is saying. We can come to a worship service and zone out. I'm guessing these kind of things are familiar to all of us. I know I've been guilty of all of these kinds of things. And to make matters worse, worship doesn't stop with the kinds of things we do during a church service. God calls us to offer our bodies to him as a living sacrifice, to offer sacrifices of professing his name and doing good and sharing with others, to do whatever we do for the glory of God. For Christians, everything should be worship. We should always be trying to honor God. But the truth is, often we fail to fully give ourselves to him. We can set aside an hour or two on Sunday morning for God and then practically ignore him the rest of the week. We can do lazy, half-hearted work or just not make use of some of the talents God has given us. We can push God and the people around us off until we finished watching the game or checking social media or shopping. We dishonor God by these things. We don't show him the love that he deserves. Sometimes we can keep a certain part of our lives for ourselves instead of God. Christina's photography business was for her. She focused on what made her happy. Once she started building a reputation, she was always looking for higher profile jobs or some photo contests where her work would be recognized. Christina was known as a church member in her community, but she also had a reputation for being difficult to work with. Don't get me wrong, the photos were great, but Christina was impatient and not very flexible. She wouldn't take a job if she didn't think it would help her career, and she'd tell you what shots you wanted. When Christina was on the job, she was thinking about work. Thinking about honoring God was far from her mind. God calls us, his people, to honor him by giving our whole lives to him in worship. God wants our best. He wants every part of us. And he deserves our entire selves because of all that he has done for us. God offers his people salvation, forgiveness, true life through Christ Jesus. God gave us his son, Jesus, and Jesus gave his life for us. Jesus taught and showed us what a life completely dedicated to God looks like. In his death, Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice for all of his people's sins and half-hearted worship, so that everyone who believes in him can receive God's acceptance and favor. When Christ saves us, he brings us into a relationship with him, our Lord, and God, our Father. He wants us to bring our lives to him so that he can use us for his good purposes. And he assures us that when we offer our praise and service, our witness and love, when we truly give him our offerings, he will accept us. Christ calls us to give our whole selves to him in worship because he knows that doing so will strengthen our sense of connection to him. It'll help us better understand how much he loves us. About 8 years into her photography career, Christina attended a Christian women's retreat. God touched her heart during that conference. Reflecting on just how much God loved her, she started thinking about how she could honor God with her business. So she started praying each day that God would be glorified through her work. Every time she finished a photo shoot, she'd sit down and pray for that client. Thinking about honoring God and working for him made Christina want to be a little more patient, a little more attentive. She still did good work. She still wanted to do good work. But she listened more to what her customers wanted, focused more on working with them. Christina even took some jobs that weren't so desirable because she hoped to bless others the way God had blessed her. Because of God's love, Christina didn't feel so much of a need to be as successful as possible. God was giving her more peace. God also helped Martin to offer more willing and wholehearted worship. A close friend challenged Martin to think about what kind of praise God deserves and try to give the time of singing to him. So now Martin says when the music starts, he tries to reflect on the love that Jesus showed on the cross. Martin thinks about what each song says about God and tries to add his praise to the others around him. Sometimes this goes great. He even feels moved or touched by the music. But a lot of times, he doesn't. But even then, even when Martin doesn't like the music, God's greatness and faithfulness inspire him to participate, to bring his worship to God. Brothers and sisters, when we think about bringing worship and offering ourselves to God, we should remember and reflect on all that God has done for us. He's made us in his image. He's given us life and freedom. He teaches us just what is right and good. He helps us in our times of trouble and listens to our prayers. He sends his Spirit to always be with us. He makes his people into a new community, a new family. God's love is far more than we could ever repay. And even as he calls us to bring him our lives, our work, our skills, our speech, he's offering us the joy and security of knowing that we belong to him and that he loves us. God deserves offerings that honor him because he is so good to us. God inspires our worship by saving his people and by loving us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's join together in prayer. God, our Father, our Master, our King, you deserve our honor and respect. You have made us, you watch over us, you save us in Christ Jesus. Please forgive us for the times we offer you begrudging, half-hearted worship, and the times we refuse to give parts of our lives to you. Remind us of your great love for us and inspire us to bring our whole selves to you in gratitude and devotion. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, amen. In response to God's word, Let's proclaim together what we believe using the words of "Our world belongs to God," stanza 43. Let's join together in reading. Jesus Christ rules over all. To follow this Lord is to serve him wherever we are, without fitting in. Light in darkness, salt in a spoiling world. Amen. Let's rise in body or in spirit and join together in singing, "Take My Life and Let It Be." Our Lord Jesus, having gathered us here, now sends us forth once again to follow him in our community. So through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. And know that as we go with God's blessing. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.